Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. Hello, everybody. Dave Nassani here from Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radioland. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as YouTube, iTunes, Podcast.com, Blueberry.com, Stitcher Radio. And there's just too many to list. And, of course, my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. So, folks, I am the guy, you know, they say, who we're going to help you get through that difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. I mean, we have an exciting show every week, don't we, Adrian?
We try.
So that's my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, founder of the Caregiver Space with probably 17 million followers.
I wish.
Today we will be interviewing live and recorded later after the live, Jay Kraker, sharing how he has survived an amazing ordeal. And he's going to share that in a moment. But stay tuned. If you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every single week, especially since we've gone video, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is the caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring and they're selfless and they're sacrificial. And oh yeah, they have this tiny little fault that they're very prone to burnout because they put everyone else's needs above their own. They're just wired that way. They can't help it, you know? So it's our job to try to unwire them and straighten them out. Now, like the airlines tell us, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. And why do they tell us this? Sounds like the most selfish thing a parent can do to their kid, right? Well, the airlines know all so well that if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved one, you will most likely black out. And then you won't be of any good to anybody with anything. My guest knows a thing or two about that. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. Unfortunately, folks, only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. Can't go around it, over it, under it. Got to go through it. No shortcuts. Sorry. Hey, hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're stuck. And I do want to take this time and thank my last week's guest, Dr. Barry Jacobs. He was the author of Meditations for Caregivers, Practical, Emotional, and Spiritual Support for You and Your Family. Great book. Just a reminder, you can listen to that interview and all of our interviews, including one we're doing today on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. Just for doing that, I'm going to send you my first book absolutely free. What a deal. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships. My wife's amazing story, she makes it look so simple, of surviving a devastating stroke that robbed her of her speech and paralyzed her right side. She makes us normal people like whiners and complainers. She's like a one-arm wallpaper hanger. All right, enough of that. Jay Kraker, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really appreciate it. Why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? Just who is Jay Kraker?
Well, thank you, Dave. I'm trying to get my own video back. I actually froze up and had to turn off the camera, but we'll deal with the old audio for now.
Okay.
I have been a caregiver for Well, let's back up one giant step. My wife, Sue, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis on November 23rd, 1980. We were 24 years old. We had been married barely a year. And unlike most people for whom MS kind of creeps up on them and sometimes goes undiagnosed for a while, for Sue, it hit her like a ton of bricks. In two weeks, she had slurred speech, double vision, couldn't walk, couldn't hold a pen in her hand. They thought it was an aggressive brain tumor. And three spinal taps later, they figured out, in 23 days, they figured out what was going on. This is back way before they had the advanced diagnostics. So we could ignore MS for the next 10 years of our lives, pretty much. It reared its ugly head a couple of times, but they beat it down with corticosteroids, which was the old way of doing it. And then in the late 80s to early 90s, Sue started experiencing some significant cognitive issues, which frankly, I didn't even equate with MS. No one did at the time. And I almost walked in 1992, but then I got from God or divine intervention or whatever you want to call it, the message that they had just discovered the connection between cognitive impairment and MS. So
when you say you almost walked, you mean you almost gave up and left?
I had just about decided I needed time to air out. because of caregiving, but because Sue was doing some things that, and Sue's brilliant. Her whole family is extremely smart. But for example, she would bring home 8 boxes of cereal from the grocery when there were 10 in the pantry. And we had an old house, 80-year-old house. And I said, well, you got to stop doing this. And in fact, I threatened to put a sign that said Kroger on the front of my house. So I said, if she's going to keep doing this and it has consequences to me, I don't know if I can do this, you know. So, yes, I almost took time out to decide if I could stay in this marriage. And that was 92, 93. But that's exactly when the first MS Society research was published saying that cognitive impairment is not uncommon in among those with MS. And about 10% have some significant cognitive impairment.
Oh, my. Now, does she have the kind of MS? There's two kinds, the physical and the mental. So which one again?
Well, she had what they call relapsing remitting. Mm-hmm. That is the single most common form. It comes and goes with today's modern treatments, which generally are can either be interferon injections, interferon beta 1b, or it can be they now have a couple of pills that you can. Aubagio is what my wife is on now. Mm-hmm. It's an everyday pill. And she's extremely grateful because she was sick of injecting herself and having me do it. But the treatments have come so far. So she's relapsing remitting. She's really on the cusp between relapsing remitting and what they call secondary progressive. And that means basically you're not likely to have flares anymore or exacerbations. But there's at some point a steady decline begins to come on, and where she is along that cusp is anybody's guess.
Oh, so sorry. You know people with MS, Adrian? Adrian, can you hear me? Are you?
I do not. Okay. It is one of the areas that I really lack knowledge in.
Dave, would it help if I explained how MS happens?
Yeah. Why don't you do that? For those of us that don't know,
there are three basic components to it. First is a genetic predisposition. I don't know what gene it is, but and it doesn't mean it's hereditary because it's not. But if you get the defect in this particular gene, you are predisposed to the possibility of contracting it. The second component, believe it or not, is geographical. Those who spend their formative years up until about puberty in an area that has 4 distinct seasons, the higher the incidence rate. So the greatest frequency are in places like Scandinavia, Iceland, Greenland, northern, those types of climates. If you're in a subtropical climate like I've got here in Houston, where it's already been 88 degrees this year, here in February. You're not going to run into it nearly so much. And then the third is a viral trigger. And no one knows exactly. They've narrowed it down to a list of viruses about as long as about maybe 6 inches long and very small type. The most likely culprit is one called the Epstein-Barr virus, but they haven't been able to prove it yet.
Wow. So how are you doing with your caregiving? I mean, are you one of those guys who's just a natural caregiver? You were born that way and you just love caregiving? How's it?
Wait a minute now. I don't know anybody who fits that description.
There are a few, right, Adrian?
There are a few.
But I'll tell you what.
Without a doubt.
I'll tell you this.
They don't come from this planet, but there are a few.
I actually, this is going to get into my spiritual belief system a little bit, but I actually believe I had a social contract with my parents before we came into this planet at this time. And what my mother had chronic severe depression for her entire adult life, at least after she had me. She was in and out of psych hospitals every year and a half or so, every year to 2 years, and they fried her brains literally with too much electroconvulsive therapy.
Wow.
So she was home all the time, but it was like the lights were on and nobody was home, and she was just not emotionally available. I mean, she loved me, and I knew that. That I got. But if I ever needed some specific nurturing or that sort of thing, that wasn't there. But my father, he was 32 years a city fireman in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. And so he had the ideal schedule or an ideal schedule for a caregiver. And he would work 24 hours out of every 72. So all he had to do with me was deposit me at my grandmother's for a little while. But I watched him model caregiving forever. Oh. And of course, I didn't call it that. I didn't. And I think, you know, I mean, there's so many of us who are caregivers don't even use the term yet. We're spouses.
Denial. A lot of denial.
Yeah. Well, but we're just spouses taking care of spouses, or we're children taking care of parents, or an autistic child, or you mm-hmm. name it. But the caregiving label is still a label that many people don't get.
Amen to that. So did you inherit any of her depression or anything like that?
I won't call it inherent, Dave. I think I had a predisposition to it somehow. Mm. Yes, I have dealt with deep depression. And I mean, I spent, I don't talk about it very often, but I spent 2 hours on a suicide hotline in 2008.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I had.
This was while you were a caregiver, or before?
Oh yeah. This is my caregiving heavy duty journey started in 92, 93, and it has evolved every few years since then. So the job description changes, as you know, as caregiver. And in 2008, that little voice that all of us have in the back of our minds, which is very, very, very rarely supportive. You know, it's kind of the reptilian brain. I have a name for mine. Mine is Larry Lizard. It's the lizard brain. And the lizard was, I was stuck in the future. I had two sentences rolling around in the back of my head over and over, and I could not come to grips with them. And the sentences were this. You know, I've been taking care of Sue in a fairly serious way for 25 years. How in God's name am I going to find the fortitude, the stamina, the energy to do this for another 25 or 30? Wow. You know, because I'm 60 now. So that was 2008. I mean, I was, you know, mid 40s. So.
Wow. And you also were watching your mother-in-law as well?
Well, that's more recent. Vivian, my mother-in-law, she just celebrated, she just had her 90th birthday. She is in a nursing home 7 miles from us. I moved her here from Smithtown, Long Island, out in Suffolk County, in April 2012, to get her out of a nursing home where the cost out of her pocket, and her pocket wasn't deep for long. We were paying $13,500 a month for a nursing home. And that was a sister's. That was St. Catherine's of Siena in Smithtown. And so to knock down that cost and to get her where she would actually have some family that's not her only support team in on Long Island was her older sister, and that wasn't sustainable. So I helped sell her house, dumped four dumpsters worth of stuff because she was a hoarder. Wasted a lot of money on QVC and the shopping channels to get a moment of joy now and then. Brought her down here to Houston, and where the nursing home, the prevailing price for a decent nursing home, was about $6,000, or a little less than half the cost.
Was there a point that you were watching her in your home, or no?
Oh, God, no. I couldn't do that.
I was going to say you'd have to be a saint to be doing that.
I can't do that. She has no use of her left leg whatsoever. Yeah.
Adrienne's a saint, so she did it.
No, she's, I've had her in two nursing homes in her 5 years here, almost 5 years. The, Texas is dead last in the state rankings for the quality of nursing home care. I did not know that when I moved her here. They all suck. It's just a question of degree.
It is hard to find a good nursing home. I think the odds, from my experience, are 9 out of 10 of them I wouldn't put your cat in.
Yes, that's true.
Costello is his name?
Abbott and Costello were my old cats. They both passed on. We have Lucy and Ricky Ricardo here.
Okay. So what's going on with your video? Is it freezes up every time you turn it on?
Well, I've been too busy talking that I haven't spent much time trying to get. I'm in my system.
We're going to take a break in a few minutes, and you can take a look at it and see if you can get it working again. In the meantime, I've been showing a picture of yourself, so
that's fine. It's better. That's all good. But,
yeah, maybe we can get your video working during the break.
Okay.
So as I was saying, 9 out of 10 of them, I wouldn't put a cat in. My cat, your cat, anyone's cat. But there is, like searching for a needle in a haystack, that 1 out of 10 that is pretty good. And I was fortunate to find one for my mother. She had dementia. And even though it was 35 miles away, I just couldn't find one in the town we lived in. But we just kept going further and further and further. And 35 minutes isn't too bad because, it was hard on us. But I'd rather that it be hard on us than hard on her. Right. Because it was a great, great place. In fact, we found a world famous artist that had a stroke living there. She lives somewhere in the middle of the country, and her daughters searched the entire country for a great assisted living place, and that's the one they found in Glendale, California, that my mother was at. So that's how good it was that someone traveled halfway across the country to find it.
Yep. But go ahead.
No, you
I have found that the Medicare the ratings on Medicare.gov are a great place to start.
Really? Are they honest ratings?
I think they are. What happens?
Are most of them bad?
Well, no. Actually, you'll find 5-star rated nursing homes. In fact, the one where we moved my mother-in-law was the only 5-star within 10 miles of my home when we moved her here. But it went from 5 stars to 2 stars in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
The average tenure of a nursing home administrator in the state of Texas is 14 months.
I just want to add something here. My sister-in-law had gotten licensed as a nursing home administrator because she felt she had a lot to bring to it. And she's really wonderful. And she lasted maybe 3 months at 2 or 3 different residences. Competent. They just left everything to her, and she was working 16-hour days.
So the burnout thing.
Burnout because she would try and take care of everything because nobody else wanted to do the work that was needed for the people that lived there. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're back. Hi.
Hi.
There you are. Was I sharing my screen all that time?
No, I was trying to, maybe you were, but I was I was looking for the video control. I didn't have to go to system preferences. I was trying too hard. It was actually just turning off my camera, turning it back on. I've never used blue jeans before, so I wear them, but I've never used
them. A guy who knows how to fix something. Well, listen, let's take a break. It's about that time. So we're going to just pay the bills here, and don't go away. We will be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships, is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Jay Craker. So it's good you got your video fixed, Jay.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's I love technology when it works, and sometimes I actually try to outsmart the technology. So it's
Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, Jay, but men caregivers are a rarity. They're I don't know, maybe 20%. The women do most of the caregiving.
So, I was going to ask you if it's just you and me.
most of the time it feels like it. And I get asked all the time, you know, hey, you know, they're patting me on the back. What a great guy you are, you know, standing by your woman. You know, most guys would.
I get that all the time.
And I just, you know, I don't think I'm that great. Took some vows, took them seriously, and you know,
exactly.
I love the Lord, and He gives me the grace to do what I need to do. You know, I mean, I can't perhaps do what you're doing. Maybe you can't do what I'm doing, but He gives us tailor-made trials for each one that He gave. You know, the temperament and the personality and the
resources and wherewithal, yeah.
And the resources and the wherewithal, absolutely right. So people
a resource comes to mind. Yeah. A resource, all the time. In fact, so many people tell us, not just me, but my wife too, we are their favorite couple.
Why is that?
Because we model what it is to stay in love after 37 years and to stand by each other through thick and thin. And it's been a two-way street because, you know, it hasn't been easy for Sue living with me while I've been in huge depression or going into I've had two psychotic episodes in my life.
So sometimes she's your caregiver.
Absolutely. It's a two-way street. It's a double-edged sword. It used to be, for years, we were codependent and enablers of each other. And that's not a good thing. But to recognize that and to distance yourself from it is not an easy journey, but it can be done.
So explain what her symptoms are today. What's a typical day in the life of you and Sue?
Well,
is she in a wheelchair or no?
No. I'll give you the day in the life. I'm the early riser, and I'm actually my schedule is becoming ideal. Finally, I work when I want to. I go to bed when I'm tired, and I get up when I'm ready. And I now have.
Because you're unemployed, right?
No. I'm on my fifth or sixth career, depending on how you want to count. Okay. I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
I have enormous ideas. I'm very creative. I have enormous ideas all the time, and I can't possibly do them all. Anyway, let me come back to the day in the life where I'll start a totally different story. That's my problem. I taught at Rice University for 3 years in the MBA program.
Yeah, the money trails.
I taught communication skills, oddly enough.
So stay focused.
I'm up early. So I'm up 5:30, 6 o'clock every day, pretty much. I start with meditation. My home office is my sacred space. Mm-hmm. I will read. It may be the Bible. It may be another scripture. I try to study a little bit about all religions. I'm very, very much an open vessel, as it were. Mm-hmm. I meditate. I set intentions for our lives, for my life, and for the day. Intentions not only on what I want to accomplish, but who I choose to be in the world. Sue wakes up around between 7:30 and 8:30. With MS, she needs more sleep than I do. Mm-hmm. She is self. Go ahead.
You both go to bed early, I assume.
I have somewhat irregular hours. I have learned everything I need to know about sleep from my cats. If I need sleep, I get it. If I need to shut down and take care of myself, whether that means take a day off just for me to refresh and rejuvenate and recharge, or whether it means just go to bed, I just do it. There's nothing on my schedule that can't be moved if I need it. Because
typical entrepreneur.
Well, no, typical caregiver. I mean, I'm not a typical, not a typical caregiver, but I have finally, we all know, you mentioned it earlier. We all know we need to take care of ourselves first.
Yeah.
And but how many of us walk that walk when the stress is on?
What you're describing about your routine, you sound like a very healthy caregiver. Maybe you've finally learned how to, you know, put your needs first, but you're doing a lot of healthy things that a lot of caregivers are not.
Sorry about that, guys. Sue just walked in. Would you like to meet her briefly?
Yes.
Sue, come on over for a minute. We're on a radio show. It's a video radio show. You don't have to dress up.
That's called a video cast.
Can you? Yeah.
This is Sue. Hi. What a happy person you look like.
Yes. He says, what a happy person you look like. Aww. She can't hear you because I got the headphones on.
Okay. Well, hello.
Dave is the caregiver's caregiver. And Adrian down here. Mm-hmm. Adrian is the sound engineer in Flatiron section of Brooklyn.
Okay. No, I am not the sound engineer. I'm the founder of the caregiver space.
Okay.
Yeah, she's smarter than me.
Anyway.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Have a nice call.
Nice to meet you.
Here. Give me a kiss. Bye.
Oh. What a sweet couple.
Thank you.
The only other sweet couple I know of is me. Okay.
Is that like there's only two perfect people in the world, me and you?
Something like
and
that.
And I'm not sure about you.
Yeah. So I got distracted and I forgot the question I was going to ask.
We were talking about the day in the life, and I'll speed that along a little bit. I get up. I have my once I've done my meditation. I have my breakfast. A little coffee. I am a coffee fan, but I'm not a junkie like I used to be. I used to have to burn a lot of coffee just to keep moving, and it wasn't healthy, and it raised my blood pressure. Yeah. So, and Sue is entirely self-sufficient through the morning.
Really?
She takes care of herself. She uses a Rollator, if you know what a roll. It's a walker it's a walker with four wheels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, hers is tricked out. I got nine things ringing here all of a sudden. Never mind. It doubles as a wheelchair. You move one piece.
I know.
You pull off one bar, you put it on the opposite side, and I can push her.
Mm-hmm.
So we will go on. Anyway, I'm going to divert. So
let's get to her needs.
Her needs
period of the day? Yeah.
Her needs revolve around memory.
Hmm.
And driving.
So she has the cognitive type of MS.
Yes. Almost.
Better in the mornings. My son-in-law has that, and I see his symptoms. He's really, really good in the mornings, and then, you know, it just kind of tapers off as the day goes out. He's still working. Yeah.
But, and how old is he?
Well, let me see. He has got to be 40.
Okay.
Pretty young guy. Shocked everybody to have him diagnosed like that. But before that happened, I thought all MS was the physical kind, you know, that we are all so familiar with.
Well, Sue has some motor skill loss, but not much.
Yeah.
She has plenty of strength in her legs. I attribute that to the use it or lose it school. Sue had the same physical trainer for 25 years.
Hmm.
And we don't have that today, because for a lot of reasons. The big one was her trainer of 25 years developed stage 4 colon cancer, and she's actually healthier now, but we have fallen out of touch.
Well, I want to contrast with what's going on today, because it wasn't always good, right? It was
no.
You weren't always doing this well.
No, absolutely not.
What can you tell us? Because obviously it was a form of burnout that you were going through. I mean, you can call it many different names, but I think
it was extreme stress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Extreme stress,
which is another way of saying burnout. What was different about back then? Are you laughing, Adrian?
No, I had wanted to say something because I'm predisposed to depression as well, and I take medication since 1982. I've been on meds, and I mean I lead a fairly normal life, but I do go through
period.
Episodes, mm-hmm. and. I learned that as an entrepreneur, for me, it was the way that I would be able to live my best life, and was available to Steve that way, both before and after he was sick. You know, because he was needy even when he was well. So I was a caregiver before I was a caregiver. And that was draining for somebody who is depressed. So it's not necessarily the caregiving that gets you down. You can be predisposed even without the caregiving.
Yeah. And I guess Jay and I are pretty fortunate because we have wives who are pretty independent. You know, my wife can cook. She can decorate. She's working on her favorite hobby of dolls and stuff like that. And and she does the laundry. You know, I come home and I wonder where all the elves are that helped her
clean the house
and do all the laundry and stuff like that. So she's amazing. So, you know, we try to take vacations twice a year because, you know what, tomorrow's not promised to us. And
that's right.
On a cruise ship, we see these really old, decrepit people, you know, one's got oxygen and the other one's pushing a wheelchair. And I says, you know, we don't want to end up like that. Let's take vacations while we can enjoy them.
No regrets. Live.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, I lost my train of thought. It must be my age. I don't know. I wanted to contrast, you know, did you learn anything from your burnout session, for lack of another better word? And if you did, what did you learn so that we can help other people who are watching this and maybe they are where you were and they want to get to where you are, you know, as far as doing healthy habits and stuff like
taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Self-care.
All right. During the most intense period of caregiving for me has been the last 5 years. Since I had Sue's mom here.
And she wasn't even in the house, right? She was in the nursing home.
That's correct.
Wow.
But it was my major stressors were and are caring for Sue, caring for me, making sure the nursing home does its job, spending some quality time with Vivian, Sue's mom, bringing in the income during all this, and somehow staying spiritually centered and physically active. We are whole beings. We are body, mind, and spirit. And if we lose connection with any of those components, it sounds very simple, we're screwed. I'm very clear, Dave. I could have easily died 3 times in my time as a caregiver. I can recount the stories. Not today.
Yeah,
They will be at least mentioned in the book that I expect to finish by mid-April.
Oh, what's the name of it?
The Caregiver's Survival Guide.
That's good.
There's actually one other book out there by that title, but I don't care. This one will be I intend to make this a New York Times bestseller.
Good for you.
Yeah. So anyway, what kept me, what I did, see, I've always been a seeker. I've always looked for solutions. I study everything. I'm an eternal student. And I had to find what worked for me as a caregiver, right?
Uh-huh.
Spirituality is one part of it. But for a long time, while I was in the spiritual wilderness, and I was in the wilderness for a few handful of years, I had faith in my head, but I had trouble at times feeling it in my heart because I felt alone in this journey, as most caregivers do at some point. And I stopped taking care of myself physically for about 8 months. I was a hermit for 8 months last year with depression. That's 2/3 of a year that I lost, basically.
Wow.
But I am I'm a natural extrovert. I love being with people, talking with people, learning what they're up to. I fit into the pay it forward school of thought and the eternal optimism school of thought.
Well, you know, as caregivers, there's a natural temptation to isolate yourself.
Exactly.
That didn't happen with you, or it did?
No, I did isolate myself,
mm-hmm.
But that was, to me, that was a product of the depression.
Yeah.
You didn't see it at all as a product of the caregiving, that you didn't want to get involved promising things.
Well,
sure,
that was part of it. But more than that for me was, I was back in 2008, like, how do I go on? I mean, with this load on my back, bringing in the money, taking care of Sue, taking care of me, yada, yada, yada. How in God, again.
Well, and you failed to mention that you declared bankruptcy, and that's like way up there on the stress scale, you know.
Well, yeah.
Sickness, that's bankruptcy.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I filed bankruptcy on January 31st this year. It is a blessing.
But it was stressful to let out.
But I felt ashamed. I felt like a failure as a husband and a provider. I had no reason to feel that way, but there I was. But I had 600,000 plus in uninsured medical expenses over 9 years. Due to depression and the fact that the Houston economy relative to the rest of the country right now is behind it instead of in front of or better oil. Than it, because the prices are as oil and gas prices go, so goes Houston.
Absolutely.
Though it's more diverse now than it's ever been. But the only economic sector in Houston growing today is healthcare. So my last big job, I worked full time for BP as an expensive contractor. I was in charge of communications, internal communications for a 2,000 person slice of BP called the supply chain and procurement group.
Wow.
And I went, they laid me off with 9 days notice on July. I was gone on July 31st, 2013. So I went from 150,000 from them to, I only had about 10,000 a year left after that. And that was my teaching part-time at Rice. And I lost that within 3 months because they cut out most of the part-timers. So talk about stress. And not to mention the cost of healthcare. I mean, I'm 60. When you try to buy healthcare on your own, as you guys probably know, it's terrible. And as you get older, the government requires them to base premiums for insurance on your age. So we were paying my out of pocket costs all in for medical expenses exceeded 50,000 a year. Easy.
Wow.
2,000 a month in insurance premiums before Obamacare. Another $2,000 a month for a part-time caregiver, so I could focus for Sue, so I could focus on bringing in money.
Mm-hmm.
What are those premiums? How did they change after Obamacare?
The first year it was good. 2014, I stayed away in 2014.
You got the subsidies.
Yeah, the subsidies. I did not do Obamacare in 2014 because it was still too many unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
2015, I got in. It was helpful, very helpful. I went from we got on what they called a silver plan at the time. Gold plans are not supported in Obamacare, so we got a silver, and that took my premium from $1,300 a month to $300 a month.
Big difference.
$12,000 a year in cash flow.
Mm-hmm. That must be why mine went from $550 to $950.
Well, mine this year, I kept the same plan, the Blue Cross plan. But in 2016, every insurance carrier serving the Obamacare market or the Affordable Care Act in the state of Texas dropped all their PPOs. It's all HMO now.
Yeah. Mine dropped to PPO and it went to EMO, whatever that is.
EIEIO. I don't know what that means.
Exactly.
It wasn't good because my doctor didn't take it.
No. Well, exactly. And when we went into the HMO, I did keep Blue Cross, but every one of Sue's doctors, every one of my doctors were all outside the group.
Yep.
Right.
And I'd spent 20 years finding great doctors for both of us. You know, not a single psychiatrist in Houston was in the plan. Not one.
Listen, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to take another break. Don't go away. We will be right back again.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial. I don't believe this is happening. Anger. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening. To a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this? To depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiver'sCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiver'sCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them.
And we're back with Jake Kraker and Adrian Gruberg.
And to finish the last thought from before the break, and to play Can You Top This on insurance, my premium last year went from $305.74 to $1,078.50.
Oh, so I'm not the only one.
So I actually dropped Blue Cross, and effective March 1, I found a plan with a company called Molina Healthcare, which I never heard of. Molina, and my premiums are going to be $56 and change.
Wow, how is that possible? You're still getting subsidies?
I don't know yet. Yes.
Wow, that's
still getting subsidies. But stay tuned, and we'll find out if it has any coverage to it.
Yeah, we'll see if Trump's plan of increasing competition across state lines helps as well.
Yep, right.
And the savings accounts and all of that stuff. Something's got to change, because I think this was designed to implode. You know, maybe that was their plan to bring in single payer, you know, when Hillary was president or something. I don't know.
Speaking of which, did you know, Dave or Adrian, that refugees from the United States are now flocking to the border of Canada?
Yes.
And one makes me think it's healthcare could be a good reason.
Healthcare is a very good reason to do it.
I wonder if they invited them. Oh, yes, they invited them, didn't they? Bring me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. Oh, wait a minute.
That's us. That's not them.
Oh, boy. Don't get me started.
Me neither.
All right. So how are you generating income now? Just with your ideas and your entrepreneurship?
I actually have multiple ways of making money.
Wow.
Everyone should have multiple income streams. It should be a goal. To have a J-O-B today, job is now an acronym, stands for just over broke.
Yeah. Are you into multi-level marketing?
I prefer to call it network marketing.
All right.
Only because it is networking. It is word of mouth.
So what do you sell?
Actually, I don't sell a single product. I sell services. And they are the services that every family and every business uses every single month and already has in their budget. It's a cell phone service. It's which actually I can help people get, believe it or not, free cell phone service. No one believes that's possible, but it is. It's electricity, it's natural gas, and all that depends upon what states have deregulated those things. Mm-hmm. It's high-speed internet, it's TV, it's landlines, internet-based phones, home security and automation with the state-of-the-art company that's not ADT. It's a company called Vivint out of Utah. It's brilliant stuff. And all of
that
stuff.
Working out for you?
It's working great. And
great.
The joy of it is this. I get a commission on my own bills, for God's sake. And I get 10% of every customer's bill. Would you rather? We call it residual income because you get paid over and over. You're probably familiar with the concept.
Yeah.
You do the work one time and you get paid. It's no different than you putting your products on the internet for your USB card, like we just saw in the last break. You're already in all of my businesses. You're either getting residual income from it, or they're just residual bills. You're paying those bills every month anyway. So I don't have to convince anybody to put something new in their budget. It's already there. And I help them reduce that budget so they can actually go do something else with that money. And it's ideal for caregivers.
Well, we'll hand your number and your contact information out afterwards.
Absolutely.
Now about what you're doing. You're giving back, aren't you? You started something called the Empowered Yes. Caregiver Network.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that and all it's doing. We've got about 7 minutes.
Okay. It started 6 years ago, May. I knew at the time, I hadn't discovered the caregiver's caregiver. I thought I was alone. I had found an amazing video audio conferencing tool, which you may know, you may not. I think it has different applications than BlueJeans does. It's called Maestro Conference. I can take 10,000 people on a single call. 10,000.
Wow.
The audio quality is superb because it's still routed to the extent as possible over copper wire. I can take 10,000 people. I could take zillions of caregivers on a call. What I do is I bring us all together in the grand ballroom in the sky. I do an interview for 15 minutes or so with some expert on some aspect of caregiving, a shorter version of what you do here. And then I click my mouse one time, and like magic, the grand ballroom converts into breakout rooms with 5 people each.
Really? What kind of attendance are you getting with that?
It's been very slow, but it is. I never have had more than 100, but only recently did I come to the awareness and understanding of how to have this go viral.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is caregivers have so little time, to sit down and do anything that's going to benefit them, unfortunately.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, and what we do, like you, I can record the calls. I only record the public portions, which means the interviews. And I do, after we do breakout groups for 30 minutes. It's 15 minutes of an interview. It's 30 minutes of breakout where every caregiver gets about 5 minutes apiece. Oh. And the goal is to share with the group your single biggest pain point in caregiving right now. What if you could address it and reduce the pain would make your life better today as a caregiver? Right. And we work to support each other in that time. So we get ideas from each other. So 5 brains are always better than 1.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
I started it in May 2011. It's been spotty. When I'm depressed, I can't do it. I have to be in a centered space. And I'm actually pretty convinced that my psychiatric issues are behind me, mm-hmm. but I'm taking that one day at a time. I had a spiritual epiphany in December, January timeframe, and it's as if God or spirit, I call it spirit because to me, spirit is just in the ether. I know it's everywhere. The energy is everywhere, and we are the energy. We embody that energy. So now I've got the energy to go do it. My biggest group ever, I did a survey, the 2-minute survey, that you ask people to fill out. Yeah. How can you make this better? And I have done market research my whole career. I had 100%. I've never had 100% of my audience agree it was Thursday, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. But 100% said they would come back. 100% said they would share it with someone else. Mm. That, to me, spoke volumes about about the size of the need. So my intention is to have AARP adopt this, but it has to achieve critical mass before we can make that happen. So to come back to your question, I know we got very little time. Half an hour of a breakout group, and then we come back to the giant ballroom in the sky, and we cross here. Who had an aha moment in the breakout? Who's going to go try something different at home based on what they heard here today? Press 1 on your keypad and raise your hand. I open that mic, call on them by name, they share, and you know the drill. If one person answers the question, 10 people in the audience wish they had asked it. So it's phenomenal. And all of that is archived in an audio file.
Wow. Sounds
are
cool.
There any, I just wanted to know if there are any confidentiality problems that you've come across with this.
None. The what is said in the conference room, in the breakout room, has to stay in the breakout room. That is not recorded whatsoever.
So after that, the whether or not they've had this aha moment, you're getting the result of
that's
what
correct.
The breakouts produced.
That's correct.
Okay, that's
exactly.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
And it goes beyond that, but I'm not going to go into it.
Okay.
The very cool thing is, although we can't stream video with that many people, you can upload your Facebook photo or something like that and put your name in there if you want to. Just your first name if you want to stay anonymous. So people can see in the breakout rooms who's in there with them. It's very cool.
How often do you do that?
Starting next Tuesday, the 28th, I'll be doing it weekly.
Oh, let me know. I'd like to join one.
Yeah.
I'll send you a
link. What time on Tuesday, though? You can't conflict with us.
I have to look at my schedule. Give me a second. Actually, let me get back to you, and then you can
share
that with your readers. Yeah. With your viewers.
Yeah, we usually tape at 4 Eastern.
Well, my rule of thumb is I try to hit both time zones, mm-hmm. Or all of the coasts, but I still try to make it early enough in the day that I can actually include the UK without it being the middle of the night, because I've had callers in from the UK and from all over the country.
We have members from all the various English speaking countries.
Exactly. We can serve the world.
The carers, I mean, we're international. It's there for everybody, and that's an enormous thing to have.
Exactly.
And the internet's live all the time, so.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you use any hashtags for caregiving? If so, what works for you?
Well, I use caregiver, caregivers, plural.
Okay.
Caregiving, self-care, burnout.
The one I've started using is help, the number 4, caregivers, plural.
Help for caregivers.
Okay.
Great. Well, we're out of time. Wish we had more time. So give your contact information. How can someone get a hold of you if they want to?
All right. You can find me almost anywhere. Google me and you'll find 2 pages of listings. There's only one other Jay Craker in the country, and he's in New York, and he's way younger than I am, but I'm much better looking. And I'm on Facebook. As a public figure, also don't send one to my personal account, but you can like my page. You can also go to the Empowered. Go to facebook.com/empoweredcaregiver. And you can connect there, or you can actually connect with me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Which is how we met. Walk softly, carry a huge network.
All right. Adrian, how do we get a hold of you if somebody wants to learn more about the caregiver space?
It's if they want to get in touch with me personally, it's Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, @thecaregiverspace.org. And the website is thecaregiverspace.org. And the Facebook page is The Caregiver Space. And there's a Facebook community now.
How does someone join the community? Is it by invitation or what?
No, the communities are new. We've had a lot of success with it. We're going to be adding an elder care. Just elder care, because we don't want it over this overabundance of
like Alzheimer's, dementia, like type
right
of
and then also
how big do you want them to get?
Grief as big as the the conversations go on 24 hours, so.
But I mean, is 1,000 too big or 5,000?
No, the questions are relevant. They just keep getting attention.
Okay.
Right, and they stay up there.
Right now they're in the hundreds.
Right now the communities are still small, but relatively small compared to the other population.
Yeah, check it out, Jay. It's the Caregiver Space community.
Yeah.
It's
as
a
we
smaller
close out,
version of her Facebook page.
But the Facebook page is really successful. So.
I'll check it all out. You can reach me. My main number, 713 396 2613. That is a Google Voice number, and it will find me where I am.
All right.
In case somebody wants a free cell phone or internet or
there you go.
Security system.
All, it's all good.
I can't believe how fast the time has gone. Just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And this is a recorded broadcast, so it will be on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com, and also on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. While you're on my site, please don't forget to take that short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? To assess, you know, where you are in the burnout process and to get your free copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, a $10 value, absolutely free. Why would I do that? Because I'm a nice guy and I care and I want you to succeed in this thing called caregiving and not have you go into that dark space called burnout. So until next Wednesday at noon Pacific time, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.